Praise the Lord.
Good morning again.
You're good.
This morning in Sunday school, you surprised me when I asked how many of you remembered the sign for Amen, but we've got a few more people that have come in. Well, I taught you this sign. I taught it to you again this morning and two other times, but how many of you know that sign that I taught you? All right, so several of you do, I know, but some of you might have got in here this morning, you don't know, but we're going to do it together. Put your left hand out like this with your palm up, your right hand like this up over it, and go like that, and that means amen.
Amen.
God's people should say amen.
Amen.
Amen. During the preaching, you feel free to sign amen. Don't be afraid. You can shout it and sign at the same time. I'm glad to have my wife here with me this morning interpreting for me. In case you didn't know, this is my wife. Sometimes after church, people come and say, who's that lady that goes around with you? Well, I just introduced my wife, and her name is Tricia, and I want you to know her. And then we have Amanda sitting over here. Amanda's Peruvian. We adopted her from Peru when she was 8 years old. She's now 21. And we also have a deaf boy we adopted named David. He's from China. And David is out in Oklahoma with a family, friends of ours, and spending some time out there. He'll be flying to Atlanta on Monday, and we're going to pick him up and take him with us to Deaf Camp. There's several things you could pray for us. Next week on Monday, after David gets here, we're going to meet him at the airport. Tricia and Amanda are going to head back home, but the rest of us are going to Deaf Camp in Tennessee, and the man running that camp is the man I surrendered to preach under 46 years ago, and I'm excited he's asked me to come to Deaf Camp. I went 13 years in a row, and then we started Go Deaf Missions. I started traveling, and he begs me every year to come, but this year, we're going to make it. Reggie said there's about 100 campers coming, so we're excited about that, a week of Deaf Camp. Reggie doesn't waste any time. He has me preaching four times during that week, so pray for God to give me wisdom as I teach and preach at camp. And then Tricia and Amanda will be heading home. We were supposed to hear back from the University of Florida about genetic testing. We haven't yet. We don't know what Amanda has. We have a lot of ideas of what this might be, but we don't have a diagnosis. Hopefully in the next few weeks, UF is going to call us and help us get more guidance and idea of what we're dealing with. They did cheek swabs, and they prefer to have a swab of the parents as well so that they can get a better analysis. But they only have Amanda's DNA. She's adopted. We don't know who the parents are. And so pray that they are still, despite all that, able to find specific answers for us. There's a lot of expenses with all these doctors and all these medicines, and none of it's free. And pray that God will continue to provide for all those medical needs. And then July 22nd through 24th, Timothy, Anna Marie, and I are joining my brother-in-law, who is our deaf pastor at Smyrna, in Smyrna, Georgia, and pastor of a Deaf Baptist Church. We're going to Las Vegas to a casino, but we're not gambling. They have an event there called Deaf Nation World Expo. And my wife and I went 3 years ago to the expo that I think they run it every 3 or 4 years. And they have between 15,000 to 25,000 deaf people that come to that. It's a free event. They'll let us put up a booth to share the gospel. And so we're going to have a gospel booth there. So pray for us. We'll be meeting deaf people from all over, trying to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with them. We're really excited about that. That's the 22nd through the 24th of July. And then we're also looking at November. There is something called Deaf Olympics It is the Olympics for the deaf. It's the same as the Hearing Olympics, but it's deaf athletes. And a couple years after they have the Hearing Olympics, they always have the Deaf Olympics. This year it's going to be in Tokyo. We've been talking with my brother-in-law. He wants to go. We want to go. This is a huge crowd. This is a. They didn't have it the year of COVID. But that the one prior to that, they had 25 to 30,000 deaf from all over the world at the Deaf Olympics. And so pray for our team. We just settled on this last week that we're going to try and go. So we want to go to Tokyo, and we'll be, the Deaf Olympics lasts for 2 weeks. We want to spend 2 weeks in Tokyo trying to share the gospel. We know a Japanese deaf man there who has been a pastor to the deaf there for many, many years. We're going to work with him. And so pray for us as we go to Japan, and we just get such a huge opportunity, the mixed crowd. And I've never been to Deaf Olympics before. My wife went one time in 2001 to Rome. I wasn't able to go, and I've tried all through the years. I've never been able to work out a schedule where I could go, but this year, we got it. We're going. Pray for Timothy, Marie, and Anna. My wife wants to go. Would you pray that Amanda would be better, well enough that our family can go together? David can't wait to go. David is adopted from China, and we did some DNA testing for him. He's part Korean, and he wants to go. We're thinking we're going to stop in Korea on the way. We don't know, and maybe he'd like to try and find his family. I don't know about that, but we're going to try and go to that. Let's open our Bibles this morning to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1. Let's stand for the reading of God's word. We're going to start in verse 1. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. Let's pray. Father, Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you so much that we can be in the house of the Lord. And God, I thank you that my wife and daughter could be here this morning, and for all the others that are here too. Lord, I pray that you'll help my message to be clear, help the interpretation to be clear. I pray the Holy Spirit will guide us. Lord, if there's someone here this morning that's never been saved, I pray today would be their day of salvation. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. He says here, this know also, that in the last days, perilous times shall come. I've got a little bit of news for you. It's not coming. It's here. Wow, look at the days we're in. As you read through this chapter, it's like a checklist of today's news. I don't think there's anything missing. We are living in those last days. I could read the whole chapter this morning, but I want us to come to verse 5 this morning. It says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Of such, from such, turn away. I want you to see that little phrase, denying the power thereof. I was thinking about how growing up I heard many great preachers, wonderful evangelists, wonderful missionaries preach. I met Christians, people all over our country that were tremendous people, and you could just see the power of God on their lives and in the places where they ministered. And I'm thankful. I've been saved 47 years. God's blessed me through the years. And we started out as missionaries, and we traveled, and then we went to Germany for the first time in 1992. There were churches thriving all across this country. Missions conferences were a whole week long. We had people surrendering and going into ministry right and left, and it was a wonderful thing. But today, A lot of years have gone by. I'm 60. I'm not old. I'm 60. I'm young. I'm 60. But this little phrase, denying the power thereof, and I think we should ask ourselves today, do we have the power? My wife and I have been visiting churches. We go back to churches we were at before that were thriving churches and excited. And we're looking around and we're saying, where did they all go? We go into missions, not missions conference, missions emphasis Sunday. What happened to missions being a week-long emphasis? What happened? How did we get to missions emphasis Sunday? We call pastors. We'd like to come in your visit. Well, no, we've had to cut down on our missions program. We've had to cut back. We're sorry. Pastors that I've known, friends that have died, friends I loved many years have passed on. And I think this is a fair question today. Are we denying the power?
Hey.
Are we denying the power?
Yep.
Do we have the power?
Go ahead.
I think it's only fair that we evaluate ourselves as individuals and say, do I have the power? In 2025, do I have the power? Do we have the power? We shouldn't deceive ourselves and say, oh, of course I do. What we ought to do is look at what the Word of God says about the power and let it answer that question for us this morning. I think a good verse for us to start in is over in the book of Acts. Let's go to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, just hold there for a second. I've heard some people say things like this. Oh, we had a wonderful conference. And I've heard people say, I've never liked having deaf preachers. They don't have the power. Thought about that. Some preachers will say, we'll only have the deaf give a testimony for a minute because I don't like it when deaf people preach. I don't think a pastor that says something like that is being mean or he's being unkind. He might be right. Maybe deaf people don't have the power. I have to evaluate what the Word of God says in my life about that. In Acts chapter 1, we're going to go to verse 8. Verse 8, it says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me in both Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. It says ye shall receive power. Well, how? How? After that, the Holy Ghost has come up on you. Wow, there's something right there. Now, when I went to college back in 1982, I went first to the National Technical Institute for the Deaf in Rochester, New York. Deaf Institute, wonderful school there, almost 2,000 students, deaf people from all over the country. And I got there, I found a good church. There was a deaf pastor in that church. I attended regularly there throughout the year. I witnessed to people, I brought them to church. I met this girl named Dawn. I will never forget Dawn. I asked her, Dawn, are you saved? Do you know Jesus Christ? She said, yes, I'm saved. I'm so excited that I'm saved. I said, okay. She said, but I haven't received the power. I said, what do you mean you haven't received the power? She said, I've been praying for the second blessing. I've been praying that God would just fill me with power. Now, I didn't know a lot about the Assembly of God back then. I'd only been saved a few years. I didn't know quite what Dawn was talking about. She said, I've been trying and trying to get it. I'm trying to get this power. I'm trying to work up this power, and I just can't get it to happen. And I need to get the power, and I need to speak in tongues. And I thought, Dawn's a little crazy there, maybe. And she asked me, do you have the power? Do you speak in tongues? I said, I don't speak in tongues. I don't know what you're talking about. I had to ask myself a few questions about that. I had to go study the Word of God. I had to go talk with my pastor. My pastor showed me a verse in Scripture, and I said, where do I get the power? He said, oh, it's in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13. Let's go there.
Hey.
Ephesians 1:13, it says, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Hey. I have the Spirit.
Hey.
How do I know? Well, let me tell you how I know.
Yeah.
I met Dawn in 1982, but let's go back 4 years before that. It was February of 1978, and a friend of mine came to me and said, John, are you saved? I didn't know sign language then. I didn't know sign language. He just mouthed it to me. Am I saved? Am I saved? Saved? What's he talking about? Saved? I wasn't swimming. I wasn't drowning. I didn't know why I needed to be saved. I didn't know what saved meant. And he didn't either. He didn't know how to explain it. I thought maybe he was talking about putting money away in the bank. I didn't know what he meant when he said, are you saved? But then he said, if you died, would you go to heaven? And I said, oh, absolutely I will. I'm a good boy. I was 13 years old. I went to the Lutheran church every week. I'd been christened when I was a baby. I knew more Bible than Tom knew. And my parents had taught me the Bible. I read the Bible. I knew a lot about the Bible. But when he asked me if I was saved, I didn't know the answer. Well, Tom had just gotten saved the week before. He didn't know what to say to me. He went back to church and he talked to a teacher. And the teacher said, invite John to come to church. So I went to my Tom came and said that I go to a church where they talk with their hands. I didn't know what that was either, but I sure wanted to know. And I went to my mom and I said, Mom, Tom invited me to go to church with him. And she said, what's the name of the church? I said, Palm Springs Drive Baptist Church. She said, no, we're Lutheran. You go with our family to the Lutheran church. I went back and told Tom, no, I can't come. I really wanted to go, though. And the next week, Tom came and he had an idea. He said, what if you spend the weekend at my house? We were good friends growing up together. I went back to my mom and said, Mom, Tom invited me to spend the weekend at his house. She said I could go. Well, I didn't say we were going to church on Sunday, but Sunday morning, the van for the deaf pulled up in front of Tom's house, and the guy who taught Sunday school was a deaf man. He also drove the van, and he started signing to me, what's your name? I didn't even know how to tell him that. I didn't know any sign language, and pretty soon a bunch of deaf people all got on there talking with their hands. And I didn't even know what they were saying. We drove 2 hours picking up the route, got to church. My eyes were about bloodshot from watching all that sign language. And we got into the Sunday school class. Fred had a bunch of questions on the board from the lesson the week before. I knew all the answers to all those questions. I wasn't even there, but I knew the answers to those questions. Every time he asked a question, I raised my hand. I answered every last one. The other kids didn't answer. They all just sat there, and I put up my hand because I knew all the answers, but I was still lost. After class, Fred came and said, can you and your friend stay here? The others are going to go into the main auditorium, but I want to talk to you. And Fred brought out some pictures. And in sign language, he started trying to share scripture with me. And it was confusing to me. I didn't understand it because of the sign language. And after 45 minutes, Fred said, can you read? I could read pretty well, but I didn't understand the sign language. And he handed me a little tract by Chick Publications called This Was Your Life. And I turned the pages of that little track, and I read about sin, and I read about a place called hell, and I found out that Jesus died on the cross for me. And all of a sudden, I understood it. And I said, wait a minute, I need to pray. And they asked me some questions to see if I understood. And I said, I want to pray and ask Jesus to save me. And that day, I prayed, and I asked Jesus into my heart, and I got saved. February 5th, 1978, and I'm still saved because I got eternal life, forever saved. That day,
I receive the Holy Ghost in me. I have the power.
I have it. You shouldn't be walking around saying, I don't know if I have the power or if I don't. Are you saved?
If you're not saved, you do not have the power. If you're trying to teach children, if you're trying to do ministry, if you don't have Jesus in your heart, you have no power.
Let me make this clear. Maybe you're like me. You go to church. You've been pretty good. My wife and I were married. She thought she had been saved as a little girl. And we were traveling on deputation the first time back in 1993. My wife kept asking me, how do you know, though? What if you're not really saved? And I said, you either know or you don't know. And she kept saying, but I do this and I do that and I go to church and I teach and I do this and I do that. It does not matter what you do.
Do you know? I'd ask her, do you need to be saved? No, I think I'm saved. Okay, well, that's how it went for a while. But one day we were in Panama City, Florida, and the pastor was preaching. And he was talking about how his wife thought she had been saved. But during a service one night, she got saved. And my wife sat there weeping. And then she went forward in the invitation and she trusted Jesus Christ. She got saved. She never asked again about if she knew she was saved. She had the power.
Hallelujah.
It doesn't matter if you come to this church. It doesn't matter if you got christened. It doesn't matter what you've done. The only way you can be saved is receiving Jesus Christ and get the power of the Holy Spirit inside of you. Okay, now when we get that power, Dawn was saying she would speak in tongues if she got the power. But Acts 1:8 says, when you receive the power of the Holy Spirit, what is it we're going to do? We shall be witnesses. Not speaking in tongues. There was a time in the book of Acts where they spoke in tongues. There was a gift the disciples had to speak in tongues in a foreign language. They could speak a language they hadn't learned. They didn't talk about the football game they won last week. What they did with the power is they shared the gospel of Jesus Christ in Jerusalem. 3,000 people got saved as a result. So first of all, the power is from the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of you. Now go to Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. Romans chapter 1, verse 16 says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. First, we have the power through the Holy Spirit. And secondly, we have the power through the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Well, what is the gospel? I ask that to deaf people all the time. What's the gospel? And lots of people answer, it's good news. Good news, okay, great. My sister just had a baby. How about that? That's good news, right? I got a new car. That's some good news. My friend just bought a house. There's some good news. The gospel is not the good news. We have to have more than it's the good news. What good news is it? It's the good news of Jesus Christ's death, dying for our sins, burial, and then 3 days rising again from the grave. That is the gospel. If you read 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4, you'll find it right there. That's the gospel. Only that Jesus died on the cross for our sins, that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day. There's no other gospel. And if you add anything to that, you're in danger of punishment, the book of Galatians tells us.
That's it. That's the good news. Don't change the gospel. Well, times have changed. People believe what they want to believe today, they say. Well, they grew up in their family and in their faith and in their... No, that's... It does not matter what you say about it. God said the gospel and the word of God is a death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's the power of God right there. All right, so what do we do with it? What do we do with it? If we got the power, what do? We just carry it around? Let's go to Mark chapter 16 and verse 15. Mark chapter 16 and verse 15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Well, there it is right there. You go home and sit on your sofa with it and have some pie and ice cream or some chocolate ice cream, because that's what I love, and just be glad you got the power of Jesus Christ and sit there and eat your ice cream and be so thrilled you got the power. Just sit there filling up on ice cream and loving life. That's not it. You have the power of the gospel. You're supposed to do something with it. He said, go. Go somewhere with it. Go somewhere. If you've got the power of Jesus Christ, the deaf world needs to hear the gospel. Oh, man, it'd be so good if they would hear the gospel. Well, you got to get on your feet and go. Amen. You got to go. Here in Jamestown, here in Tennessee, you have the power of the gospel. You're supposed to take it somewhere and give it to people and let God do the work. That he did the work already on the cross. He'll save them when they believe on him.
David, in the Old Testament, you know his story. David one day was called by his father to go check on his brothers. And so he packs up some food and he goes to check on the brothers, and he gets there and he finds everybody there's quivering in their boots. They're Israel's people. They're God's people. They're believers, right? They're all standing around scared to death. David comes in and says, they said, well, we got this big enemy here, and it's Goliath. David takes a look and says, so? What do you mean? You know, they hand him the binoculars, and he looks over, and he says, yeah, so what? They say, but he's huge. He's big. And you're just this little kid. What are you going to do? David says, so? Now, if you know the story, David goes down into that valley, and he goes and faces Goliath. Goliath's up there saying, come on, send out a man to fight me. Send out a man. David doesn't say, come on and fight me. David says, I come in the name of the Lord. I'm going to destroy you because of the name of the Lord. David didn't rely on anything of David. He relied solely on God. And that's what you and I are supposed to do. We're supposed to go out in the world with that. We have the power. We've got the power. It's not because of me. I can't help you. You can't help me. But that power that we have in the Holy Spirit, that power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But that's not the only two places that we get some power. Look with me at Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12.
Amen.
Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword,
piercing to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The word of God is power. Where's the word of God?
Right here. Right here.
Not only do we have the Holy Spirit in us after we're saved, we have that power. We also have the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then we have power in the word of God. We've got the Bible. Now, let me make this clear. People are really confused today about which Bible. The King James Bible for the English-speaking people. We have the power of God right here in this book. I will never forget. When I was growing up, I didn't know anything about this King James Bible. My sister graduated a year ahead of me and went to college and got in a church that taught her the value of the King James Bible. She sent me a letter, and I don't know if you know what it means to write a letter, but you take a piece of paper and you write on it and you stick it in an envelope and lick it and send it through the mail. It comes to your house. And I got this letter in the mail. My sister said, stop using the New Testament for the deaf. There is such a thing. She said, they made the Bible easy for deaf people to read, but don't read that Bible anymore. I can't explain it yet, but it's of the devil. I got this letter in the mail. She said, just use the King James Bible. Now, I had a King James Bible. They gave me one when I got saved, but somebody had given me a New Testament for the deaf because it was easy. And so I went and got the King James Bible. I started trying to read. Oh, man, that English was hard. I didn't understand those words. I kept reading it. I'm looking at it. And 2 months later, I saw in the book of John where it said that the Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. And I said, okay, Lord, then you help me understand this old English. You help me understand this book. And so I started reading. Next year, I started going to that church where she was at, and I found out there is power in the true word of God. It helps me. I've taught deaf all over. Don't bother with anything else. You don't need a New Testament for the deaf. You know that thing was translated by the Church of Christ? And in chapter 8, they took out in Acts where Philip is meeting with a eunuch that you must believe to be baptized. They just baptize. You know, they took out that whole verse, if thou believest, thou mayest.
Right.
Your King James Bible has a whole, complete word of God.
Yeah.
Yes, we should be excited. Now, look, we have the Holy Spirit power after we're saved. We have the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have the power of the word of God, and we should be able to go out and preach and see thousands saved. But what? There's something missing. It's not our job to save people. It's our job to preach the word of God. It's our job to give out the gospel. He has to do his work.
Yes.
Many of you would know Ron Hamilton. In 1981, I went to camp at the Wilds, and Ron Hamilton was there. I met him for the first time. He had just gotten a patch. The deaf always talk about whatever they see, so we all wanted to know about that patch. We all went to ask him, and he told us about his eye cancer and how he had surgery. He loved music. He said, do deaf people like music? We said, well, yeah, I mean, we like that there's music. But we don't really understand it. After the service one morning, he called us all over, and he wanted us to understand how the piano worked. We're all standing there like, not a clue. There are a few that were hard of hearing. They could understand a little bit. But for me, I'm profoundly deaf. I didn't understand. He drew out notes and chords and strings and all kinds of stuff to try. He just wanted us to understand it. He had just started his first Patch the Pirate series. And he wanted us to understand it. We really didn't get it. It was 10 years later. My sister had the entire collection for her kids. All of it. Ron Hamilton. But on the last day of camp, on Friday, he came to us, and he was looking for me, and he said, John, where are you? And he said, somebody from your church told me that you're called to preach to the deaf. And I was like, who told him that? I had just surrendered a year ago. I wasn't real sure about things, wasn't a good signer. Sure, I wasn't a good preacher. And he said, I want you to know, I don't think God wants you to just preach to the deaf. You need to preach to anybody. You can help people anywhere. Just let God use you. And he said, John, don't just go to the deaf. Don't just preach to the deaf. I want you to preach to the whole world. I was like, right. Yeah. And I just thought, he just doesn't understand me as a deaf person. I'm so glad he said that to me. I had no idea how wrong I was. I'm thankful. There was a guy who told me there is power in the preaching of the Word of God. How did I wind up in a church like yours? Because there's power in the Word of God. When my wife and I surrendered to be missionaries in 1992, we were focused on reaching the deaf. And my wife said, you're going to have to speak in hearing churches if we're going to raise support. And I thought, no, I'm not going to do it. But I finally prayed about it and said, okay, I've got to just go preach the Word of God wherever I can preach it and just go with it. So I started preaching. We were on deputation for 2 years. We went to over 200 churches, and enough churches supported us that we could go to Germany. Went to Germany, came back to Jacksonville. I pastored to the deaf for 17 years. We're back in missions now. I got an email message about 4 years ago from a guy named Daniel Wilder. He said, I just wanted to send you a message and say, you're such a blessing to me. Thank you. And I thought, oh, that's nice. That's good. You know, not too many people say thank you. I didn't know who he was. I get messages once in a while. Several months later, he said, you know, I just went and looked back over that message I sent you, and I don't think I explained myself. But in 1993, you came to my home church. You were at Grandview Baptist Church in Portland, Oregon. You were preaching in my church. And I surrendered to preach that night when you were preaching, and I'm a missionary in Guatemala. And I started looking through some pictures. He started seven churches in Guatemala. Seven churches. And he's reaching hundreds and hundreds of people. Not because of me, because I'm nobody, but because I preached the Word of God. I just gave it out. I didn't know anything about anything. I'm a nobody. But 20 years later, that kid grew up and went to Guatemala, and he's reaching people. You know, sometimes we're just looking for results. The results aren't our responsibility. Our job's to witness to everybody and try and see them saved. We're supposed to give out the Word of God. Maybe someday they'll get saved later, after, long after. But our job is, with the power of the Holy Spirit in us, to take the power of the gospel out and use the Word of God to teach people what God says. The Word of God never comes back void. Maybe you're discouraged because nothing's happening in the church where you are. Your pastor just needs to keep preaching the Word of God with the power of the Holy Spirit. We have the power. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6 says, yes, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Christ Jesus. We must be confident. We have the power. That pastor that said deaf people can't preach, they don't have the power, he's wrong about that. The Word of God has the power because of the Holy Spirit, because of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because of the Word of God, we have the power to preach. If I preach in the name of John Olson, I preach nothing. But if I preach the Word of God, I have the power. If you stand up here and you preach the gospel, you preach the Word of God, you have the power. That's how God gave power to the church. Anytime and every time, when you get up and teach your Sunday school class, when you work with those little kids you're teaching, when you pray, you take the power of the Word of God and you pray for the power of the Holy Spirit, that power is there. We're living in the last days, and it is discouraging times, and I think Jesus is coming real soon. Amen. But it's not that the power's not there anymore. The power's still there. The power's in the Holy Spirit. The power's in the gospel of Jesus Christ. The power's still in the Word of God today. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for this Word of God. Lord, help us to understand the power that it has, even in these last days, as many deny the power of the Holy Spirit because they've forsaken the gospel and they've forsaken the Word of God. Lord, I pray that you would help me to continue in that same Holy Spirit power that you gave me when I got saved, to continue in this power of the Word of God, to continue. Lord, for those that are here today that are unsaved, Lord, I pray today would be their day of salvation so that they can have the Holy Spirit dwell in them and they can have the power. Lord, I pray that you'll guide the pastor as he comes now for the invitation in Jesus' name. Amen.
Listen, wherever you're at, you come to the piano.